Well, hey everyone, so glad that you're here this weekend. We want to welcome you to Parkview. I'm glad you made it. My name is Chad. I'm the campus pastor here. We're thrilled that you've joined us. So yesterday, I was sitting in my kitchen. I was having breakfast with my little guy, Matt. And so I looked over at Matt and I was like, dude, it's almost summertime. Are you excited? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, I'm kind of encouraging him. So I got up from the kitchen table. I went over to the door where we have our family calendars. And I started to count the weeks until school's over. So I'm like, week one, week two, week three. And he interrupts me, says, Dad, 34 days. Let me tell you this. Every kid around you knows when summer's coming, okay? They may not only the day, they probably know the hour. So we've got great news for you. We got you covered. Saturday, August 5th through Wednesday, August 9th, our 6th through 12th graders are gonna be going to summer camp. It's a fantastic experience. This year, our students are gonna return to Country Lake Christian Retreat Center in Indiana. We're talking about zip lines, paintball, swimming in the lake. You're gonna smell really good, I promise. A perfect chance to make some good friends and even develop your relationship with God. I know August is a little far out, and it's a good bit away, but here's the deal. Only 200 students can go, and it's already half full. So, registration is on our website. If you know a student between 6th and 12th grade, encourage them to sign up. It's going to be an incredible time. And then in addition to summer camp for this summer, another one of our big summer highlights is for our kids. 1st through 5th grade, it's called Summer Jam. We got a few pictures here from last year that kind of show how incredible it was. We actually had 1,200 kids show up last year, along with 800 volunteers. It was amazing. My kids had a great time. It's literally one of the best highlights of the summer. It's literally that good. So we don't want you to miss out on it. Registration starts May 20th, and that event is gonna run June 27 through June 29. So that's coming up. Your kids probably already know about it if you haven't heard yet, so check that out. Registration will be online and out in our lobby starting on May 20th. If you're new here at Parkview today, I'm so glad that you've joined us. There is a lot happening around here, and there's many ways to connect. The best way for you to do it is just head out to our website, parkviewchurch.com, for all the details, or right after service, my team and I will be out in the lobby. We'd love to meet you and answer any questions that you have. We're excited to worship with you and celebrate our great God. So let's stand together, let's lift our voice, and worship God for all he's done.
We are so excited to be worshiping with you all. So glad that you've decided to join us. So we're going to go ahead and lift our voices together and give our God some praise. Amen. All right, here we go. You know I love my doubts. I thought the fire went out. But the old winds are blowing, blowing again. You know I lost my way. And I'm sure I will again someday. There's a whisper calling, calling again. All right, here we go. Let's sing this out.
This is the sound of a child coming home. Hallelujah. This is the sound of a welcome.
testimony that we have. And no matter where we've come from, no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've done, God still opens us, welcomes us with open arms. So let's sing this out together. Let's say.
For those who are afraid to come, there is no fear in perfect love. For those who don't know where to start, He always meets us where we are. For those with just a little faith is all it takes. He's calling. Can you hear Him? He's calling. If you got caught up in religion's game, then let Him show you the real thing. But skeptics still in search of truth. Alive with the one who is God's risen
for your glory. Please pray with me, everybody. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words in this song, and I just pray that you would continue to lead us in your love to those around us, which is what you've called us to, is the people around us. So help us to be inspired by that today, to rest in that, and to feel your presence the whole way there. Thank you for this day, and please bless the words that Todd is going to share with us this evening. Amen. You may all be seated.
Hey, how we doing, Parkview? Good, good. Good to see you. Good to see you this weekend. Good to see everybody around Orland here. Everybody in New Lenox, hello to you. Everybody out at Homer Glen, hello, Homer Glen. Everybody online, especially Parkview people who are traveling, glad you can be together online. Those of you who are online, who live in the area, we'd love to invite you to one of the campuses at some point, because we've already had a great time celebrating, singing together. There's nothing better than getting together with a bunch of people and singing together and pointing your hearts and your affection toward God, especially as we start into a new week. So I'm just glad to be here together all around the city. And we are going to continue our study today as we're going through the life of Jesus, just getting to know him better, and learning how we can live like him and accept him into our lives. But before we dive into the teaching this week, there is I need to pause for just a moment and go back and just clarify a few things from last week's sermon. If you were around here, you probably know where I'm headed with this. If you don't, you will soon see. Pastor Tim was preaching last week and did a great job, as usual. He's just a gifted, incredible preacher, communicator. But about midway through his message, if you remember this, he had a moment where I don't know what he was thinking. He tried to impersonate me, and it did not go well. He was trying to talk really fast, like I talk fast, but he didn't know how to talk fast. Oh, I talk fast, okay? And so he was trying to do that. He was trying to talk fast, and it just got confusing. And I know I was watching it, as some of you were, and I did not even know what he was saying. And I've had texts and social media things from you guys saying, Todd, what happened? What was that? What was he talking about? And so I feel it's like it's so important for us as a community to clarify that. And also, we have an incredible tech team around here at Parkview. And so what they were able to do this week is go back and grab some of those still shots of Tim. And then we're able to just help us know what he was saying and trying to communicate. Because again, it was just slurring his words and things like that, trying to talk fast. It wasn't pretty. So I want to make sure you see this. This is from last week, okay? This is Tim. First, he said, I am who I am today because of Todd Clark. Which when I heard it, I was like, I was shocked, because he's never said anything like that to me. He said it to you, but he never said it to me. And he's even smiling, you know, as he says it. It's like he feels joyful, very sincere, obviously, about that. And he said lots of other things. He went on for a while about this, and we're not going to interpret all of it, because it gets, you know, it gets a little crazy. But here, just like one other thing he said that I thought was really wild: I would not be the preacher I am today without Todd's influence on my life. And he's really sincere. He's actually even using some of the hand gestures that I taught him you know, to communicate that. He's gonna kill me. hey, listen, I love Tim, and I love Denise, and I'm so grateful for the 33 years of love and leadership that they have brought to this place. Amen. Incredible. Incredible, incredible run of leadership, and I've been thrilled the last 7.5 years or so to be able to be alongside him and teaching and preaching and being with you all. Love you all,
And I'm excited for what the future holds too. I'm excited for Ted Max to come. Some of you have heard in the last few weeks a new lead pastor going to be in here. His name's Ted. I know Ted. He's an incredible, incredible person. And the way that's going to work is later on in the summer, Ted and his family will be moving here, be on site. And then through the fall season, Ted and Tim will go back and forth, teaching back and forth and sharing that back and forth, sometimes separate, sometimes together and that sort of thing all the way towards the end of the year. But it's going to be great. And here's what I know, you've already heard this from other people and other voices, but I want you to hear it from mine. This is not Tim's church. This is not Ted's church or Bill and Ted's church. Like Tim said a few weeks ago, it's not Todd's church. This is God's church. Amen? It's God's church. And God is the one at work here and has done incredible things through them, but will continue to be faithful. And I just have no doubt in my mind that we're going to look 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, 15 months down the line, and we're going to say, look at what God is doing. This is unbelievable. The faithfulness of God to us, to our families, to our friends, to the people we're inviting here, and that sort of thing. So it's going to be a good season coming. So I want to encourage you with two things. First of all, get excited. Allow yourself to get excited about it. I know there's some sadness. Absolutely, there's some sadness. But also allow yourself to get excited about what God could do in a new season, a new chapter, the new half of this church. And then secondly, get involved. Get involved in this place, man. If you've been thinking about it for the last few months or years, man, I should go on a mission trip, or I should get in a small group, or I should start serving, or I should start giving to that place. Man, allow this to be the time. Don't sit on the bench as we start into a brand new season of this place. It's going to be incredible. So get excited and dive in and get involved somewhere coming into this spring and summer and into the fall. It's going to be awesome. Now, today we are continuing our study in this Quest 52 book, and we're studying the life of Jesus, and some of you, a lot of you, thousands of you actually have this book by Mark Moore. Mark is a buddy of mine, and this last week I was texting with him. He is in the Holy Land in Israel right now, and he was going to be at the place that we're actually studying in chapter 18. Is where we're at this week. We're preaching on, and then we're reading during the week. He's going to be at the very place that we're studying, so I asked him from Jerusalem to just share a little message to set up our time of study today. So this is from Mark Moore in Jerusalem a couple days ago, directly to us at Parkview. Watch this.
Hey Parkview, Mark Moore here. I'm standing actually at the pools of Bethesda. And Pastor Todd texted me last week and said he's going to preach on Peter's mother-in-law being healed. That was up at Capernaum. And I said, dude, you should have told me, because I was there just a few days ago. But I wanted to give you a greeting right here from Jerusalem, because I'm with our church, CCV. You want to greet him? So I just want to talk to you and you. He knows where you are, and he knows the pain that you're feeling. And the reason I love Capernaum so much is Jesus is real for me there. In fact, last week I had a group of guys hiking with me, and we went through Capernaum. One of the guys started out as a skeptic. He was not a Christian. But by the time we got to Capernaum, Jesus had become real. And I found that out down here in Jerusalem. He got a tattoo. And under the tattoo, he put the date that we were in Capernaum. I said, bro, what is that about? He said, that's where Jesus became real to me. And I hope that as Pastor Todd preaches to you, he becomes real to you too. Because what happened in Capernaum is he healed Peter's mother-in-law on the Sabbath. But when the sun went down, all the people from all the towns around began to come to Jesus, and they brought cots and crutches and bandages. And one at a time, Jesus went and he said, what's your name? What's your story? Of course, the people behind him were like, could you hurry it up? Jesus doesn't hurry up a healing. And the power of Jesus right now is that in the midst of a crowd, he can still see you one at a time. And I promise you, he knows the pain that you're in. He knows the backstory. He knows the mistakes you've made, and he doesn't care. He's going to ask you again, do you want to be well? If the answer is yes, he will meet you where you are with the pain you are in, the language you speak, the troubles you're having. And he doesn't always promise a healing, not physically, because at this spot, he chose one man to be healed. Why would he heal just one man? Because every physical healing Jesus did points to the ultimate spiritual healing that we'll get. And on that day, the desires of your new body, when Jesus comes back again, will match the desires of your current redeemed spirit. He knows you. He feels you. And if you let him, he'll walk with you, right? From the pools of Bethesda to where you need to go. Hey, God bless you, CCB. God bless you, Parkview.
Pretty cool, right? Thanks, Mark. Good fellow. Today we're studying the place in Jesus' life where he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And it's kind of a small, short, obscure place in the Bible. I've been preaching for like 25 years or something now, and I've never preached on this section of the Bible, of Jesus' life. I actually texted some friends who are preachers over the last couple weeks and said, hey, have you ever preached on this place in the Bible? And they're like, nope. So here's the thing. Today, you may be hearing a section of Jesus' life, an instance in Jesus' life that you've never really heard preached before. And a little background for this is that Jesus is just starting his ministry, his public ministry. He's just been tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Remember when he went into the wilderness, he got tempted for 40 days. He's just come out of the wilderness. He's gathering up some of his disciples, his very first disciples that he's calling, and he takes them to church. He takes them to the synagogue. And so this is the very beginning, the ground floor of when Jesus starts preaching and teaching and healing people and all that kind of thing. And it's in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke in our Bibles. We're going to kind of bounce around and look at it in different places today. But let's begin in Luke chapter 4 with this. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. That's Peter. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over to her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up and at once began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. So that's our whole section today, just a couple of verses. Just like 70 or 75 words is all we get. But you know, when he's stepping into Peter's life and healing somebody for the first time, there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes. And so before we actually dig in and pull it apart for our lives and how we can live it out this week, I want us to take one more moment. And there's this TV series, you know, The Chosen, right? The Chosen, incredible job they've done with this. And this place where they show Jesus coming into Peter's house for the first time, meeting his family, healing his mother-in-law. When I saw this, it was a game changer for me. It was incredible. So I want you to watch this, and then we'll dive in to how this happened. Check this out.
Eden.
Jesus. I wasn't expecting you here.
People usually aren't.
Can I get you something warm to drink? I was just stoking the fire.
You saw it first, you know.
What do you mean?
What I see in Simon. You were the first person to notice when no one else did. That connects us.
My mother said I was drawn to his wildness and that I would regret it. I wonder what she will say now.
We're going into town to sell these nets. We'll be right back.
Stay here a moment, Simon.
I just want to leave some extra money behind for Eden and Nemo while I'm away.
Put your nets down and go sit with your mother-in-law. It's all right. I told Simon to make sacrifices and leave things behind in order to follow me. You are one flesh with Simon. He cannot make sacrifices that are not also yours. You have a role to play in all of this.
Do I?
You will know in time. I can't make everything about this easier for you.
That wouldn't be our people's way.
No. It has not been. Nor will it continue to be. But I see you. You understand? I know it is not easy to be at home when your husband is out doing all of this. Even when you are excited about it and proud of him. So, I wouldn't ask you to do this without taking care of a few things.
You mean?
Plus, normal Simon is difficult enough. You think I want to travel with a worried Simon?
No.
No, I do not.
I feel respect. Her forehead burns my hand to the touch.
We should get a doctor.
There is no need.
Who are you?
That's so good. Who are you? Who are you? Man, just the humanity of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the humor of Jesus. So good to be able to see that in that kind of way. I love, this is what Jesus says to Peter's wife. I see you. And when he says that, remember what happens? She starts to cry. And why does she start to cry? Well, it's because when he's saying that, it's not just one of those generic, hey, I see you. What's up, girl? It's not that at all. It's I see you. I see your world. I see your situation. I see your family. I see your home. I see you. And so when he says that, she begins to cry because, frankly, she has a whole lot going on in her world. She's married to, evidently, a pretty rambunctious guy, this guy named Peter, who's getting ready to be out, you know, traveling with Jesus for the next few years. I'm not even sure she knows that's getting ready to happen for the next few years specifically, but he's getting ready to go travel. He's going to have a lot going on. She's got a lot going on. She's got a mom at home who is potentially dying, but yet Jesus enters into the busyness of this real life and home, and he comes face to face with Peter's wife as if she's the only person there. And he says, I see you. I understand where you're at. He spends time with her. He brings peace to her. And then he goes into the mother-in-law and he sees her and he takes her hand and he heals her. And I want to use this part of Jesus' life in our study today to just remind you that you are not alone. Parkview, wherever you are, whatever campus, Homer Glen, New Lenox, Orland, online, you are not alone. I know sometimes it's easy to feel alone. Even over the last couple weeks, I've been in conversations with several people specifically who just feel like what they said to me is, I just feel alone. And they have a job that they go to and they're around people, but they still feel alone. One of them is married, but even being married, it's just like, I feel alone. And maybe that's how you feel, that does anyone see what I'm going through? Does anyone see what I'm pushing through? Does anyone see what I'm staying true to? And you just kind of feel alone, but I want you to know today, no doubt about it, that Jesus sees you. He understands you and what you're going through. He understands your world. And it does not matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're doing, doesn't matter what you will do. Jesus loves you right where you are. Which some of you are thinking, that's crazy, Todd. How can that be? It is. It is true. It doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 30-some years of your life or 40 years of your life, or you just started following Jesus 3 or 4 weeks ago around Easter. Jesus sees you. He loves you and wants to enter into your world. This is what's so amazing about Jesus that we see depicted in those scenes and we've been studying, is that Jesus wants to come into our lives. He wants to do life with you and with me. He wants a relationship. Jesus wants to travel and go wherever I go with me. Another really cool lesson and observation I think we can make from our study today is this, that coming to church is good, but taking Jesus home is great. I mean, coming here is awesome. I'm so glad that you're here on all of the campuses this weekend and gathering up and singing and high-fiving and saying hello to people and catching up and learning and growing and all those things. This around here that we do in all these campuses, this is great. But how many of you know this, the buildings, is not where Jesus lives? God does not make his home anymore in a church building or in a synagogue as it was in those early days. Let's go back to the story again. It's the Sabbath day, and Jesus, again, is just starting his public ministry, and so he's calling these people to follow him, his first disciples, his apostles, and he takes them to church, is what he does. He says, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to the synagogue. And while they're there, Jesus heals a man who is demon-possessed. I'm sure everybody in town knew him. Jesus heals him. And this is the first time we've seen a miracle like this in public from Jesus. The first time that Peter is seeing Jesus actually like healing, changing somebody around from the inside out. And so when Peter sees this at church on like Sunday morning, here's what he says. He says, hello, okay, this is crazy. Jesus, you got to come home with me. You have to come back home with me. And so he decides he's going to take Jesus back home with him. Not just come meet him at church, not just come worship God at church, not just come meet up with Jesus at church, but actually invite Jesus home. What an interesting concept, right? To take Jesus home with us. I would suggest to you that this is the best choice that Peter ever makes. To make Jesus the central part of his life, the central aspect of his life. And again, as Peter brings Jesus home, this is kind of a risky thing because there's no buffer at home, right? And you know this when you invite people into your home. When you just meet people at church, you can kind of be, you know, whoever you want to be. But when you invite people into your home, they see everything. Right? They know like really who you are and how you live when you start inviting people into your home. Peter probably doesn't even know what's going to happen, but he takes Jesus home from church with him. And Jesus responds, listen to this, this is so important, let this settle in. Jesus responds to Peter's faith by bringing healing to his household. How many of us need that? Need some hope, need some healing, need some strength, need some peace. Jesus responds to Peter's faith by taking him home, not just leaving him at the church house, by bringing healing, by bringing hope, by bringing peace to Peter's house. Jesus did in just a few seconds what Peter and his family could not have done in weeks or months or years. He heals his mother-in-law. And word starts to get around that Jesus was at church, at the synagogue, and he healed this person who was demon-possessed. Nobody's ever seen like anything like this. And then later on, after church, he goes over to Peter's house, and everybody knows that Peter's mother-in-law isn't doing well, and he ends up healing her. And so word starts to get around, and the Bible says the sun is setting. It's coming to the end of the Sabbath. And now at the end of the Sabbath, everybody can get out and start moving again and doing things. And it says that they start to bring all kinds of sick people to Jesus, to Peter's house. In fact, here's the way it says it in Mark. I love this. Mark says, the whole city gathered at his door. So this wasn't just, you know, like a couple of people and a couple of neighbors saying, hey, you know, I heard you healed Peter's mother-in-law. We'd like to get in on that. You know, if we could do that, that'd be great. Or a few people at church who, you know, hey, heard what was going on. Like the whole city starts showing up there. Can you imagine this? Now, I would say allow yourself to. I know you've got all kinds of things to do later on today that you're going to get together with people or maybe going shopping or getting ready for school or some tests or graduation parties or work or whatever. I know you got things to do, but just allow yourself for the next few moments to just settle in to the real life scenario in Jesus' life. It's getting dark. The sun is setting, it says. Peter's inside, presumably still with his family, his brother, his wife, his mother-in-law is now serving them. And it starts to get loud outside in the courtyard, maybe in the street, the cul-de-sac, if you will. It's what's going on out there? And so I can just see Peter going over to his front door and kind of, you know, just cracking open the front door and looking out there and going, what? What is going on? There's people everywhere out there. And I can just see Jesus standing right behind him going, whoa. And then maybe Jesus says something like, Peter, you better light a torch. It's going to be a really long night. And as you play this out, the Bible says very clearly that what Jesus does is he goes out into that group of people and he goes through them one by one. So he comes to a group who's brought somebody from their family and he gathers them around and says, hey, what's going on? What's happening here? It looks like somebody's not well. What's happening? And so they tell him and he says, okay. And he puts his hand on that person and they're healed. And then he goes to the next group and he says, okay, guys, go ahead. Come on, come in tight here. Gather around. It's kind of loud out here. Just tell me what's happening here. What's going on? Why are you here? What? And they explain it. And he says, okay, I got it. And he heals him, and he goes like that, and he does miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And by the way, where is all of this happening? In the church? In the synagogue? No. It's at Peter's house. It's at Peter's house, in his home. You see, when Peter decided to bring Jesus home with him and have that mindset of Jesus is right here with me, the ministry of Jesus could now expand far beyond just the church or just the synagogue on a Sunday. All of a sudden, Peter's house that he lived in is far more than just a possession, something that he pays the mortgage on, something that he just takes care of and fixes up. His house is not a possession. His house has become now a place of teaching. His house is now a place of worship. It's a place of healing. It's quite a big change from the way everything was there in that first century where you go to church to be with God, to be with Jesus, to study, to be religious. Now it was at Peter's house. And people who are Bible scholars, who study all through the Bible, archaeologists, here's what they believe. They believe that Peter's house became Jesus' home base. They believe that Jesus, when he was in that section of the world in Sea of Galilee area, Capernaum specifically, that if he wasn't teaching in the synagogue, where he was at is he was at Peter's house. That was his home base. We see that, in fact, through the Gospels, that he keeps returning there. One of my very favorite events in Jesus' life occurs right around this time, and it's not our exact topic for today, but it fits with our topic today, so I want to touch on it. It's in Mark chapter 2, and we were studying just a little bit there in Mark chapter 1 where everybody gathers at the door and that sort of thing. In Mark chapter 2, there's this really cool instance where these people are all gathered in this house. I mean, they are just crushed inside this house, and Jesus is teaching in the house, not in the synagogue. And there's so many people, and these friends have this person who is paralyzed, one of their friends, and they want this paralyzed person to be healed. And so they try and bring him to Jesus because they hear that Jesus is doing these incredible healings they've never seen before. And you remember the story? They try to get to Jesus, but they can't get into the house. There's just too many people. It's too packed out. So do you remember, especially from when you were a little kid, what they do? They take their paralyzed friend, and what do? They go up on the roof. Remember that? They take their friend up on the roof because they can't get into the house. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 2 that they start ripping out, they start digging out the roof. They start ripping apart the roof. And then they put their friend on some ropes and a little mat. And they lower their friend through the roof right down in the living room where Jesus is teaching. Like, oh. You know, can you just see that? All the people around going, what is happening? When I was a little kid, this was one of my very favorite stories in the Bible. Because I wasn't a homeowner. And I didn't have a mortgage. And I didn't worry about that kind of stuff, right? It's like, this is really cool. Now I own a home and I have a mortgage and I'm thinking to myself, what kind of person is okay with that? What kind of person is okay with you just ripping apart their roof and breaking tiles out and letting somebody down in the middle of that? I mean, that is crazy. What kind of person allows that? Mark gives us a great idea on who would do that. When he had come back to Capernaum, this is Jesus, several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at where? Home. He was at home. He was at his home base. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. So that's when he goes on. It's packed out in there. They begin to cut through the roof and lower the person down. Whose house are they at in Mark chapter 2, the very beginning? They're at the same house that they were at in Mark chapter 1. It's Peter's place. It's Peter's place. How can somebody be okay with you ripping the roof off of things and destroying a house to let somebody in there? It's because Peter had become to realize his house was no longer just this possession that he paid for and fixed for. His house was now a place of ministry. It was a place of worship. It was a place of healing. It was a place of teaching. And that changed everything for how he viewed that place. Parkview, listen. When you leave here today, Jesus wants to go with you. He wants to enter into your world, into your home, bring hope and peace and healing, and maybe even a bunch of junior hires that destroy the place, you know? Right? Of course, God calls us to worship together like this. God calls us to worship in a certain time in a certain place, but God no longer confines worship to a certain time and certain place. Jesus doesn't live in the church. He lives in you. And he wants to go home with you. He wants a relationship with you. It's a good thing to come together to church, but it's even better to take Jesus home with us. Into our day, into our week. We have the opportunity to do that. One last thing that is, I think, an important observation from our study today, and that is all these healings we've been studying the last few weeks today, there will be more that Jesus does in the future. Jesus heals. The reason he does this is to bring people to faith and eternal life, not just to extend someone's life, right? So it's a really important distinction to understand about Jesus' purpose and his thinking and his calling on this earth. Even if we are healed of something, eventually we're still going to die, right? I mean, that's our world. And maybe you have friends or family members, you've been there and you've prayed for them, and sometimes they've been healed only to get sick another time and pass away, or maybe they weren't healed at all. But the reason Jesus does this, the reason Jesus brings these healings, is not just to extend someone's life, but to bring people to faith and into the kingdom of God for eternity. That's why he's doing all of these miraculous things then, and why he wants to work in our lives, to bring us and to others to faith. Just the last few verses of what we're studying today. It says at daybreak, this is after Jesus had been doing all this teaching and miracles, Jesus went out to a solitary place where the people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. They're like, hey, we want you to keep staying here and doing these miraculous things at Peter's place. And that's been incredible. But he said to them, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns around here also. Because that's why I was sent. The reason Jesus is here is not just to extend somebody's life for a few months or a few years, but it's to bring people all around and that person to faith and into the kingdom of God so that they can live forever in eternity with him. The book of John says it this way: but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So it's a good question for us today as we're several months into this study now on the life of Jesus. It's good for us to realize that the reason we're doing this study on Jesus is not just so that we can know some more facts about Jesus and where he did some miracles and how many and who his best friends were and what house he liked to hang out at. All those things are great, but the reason we're doing it is so that we can believe and accept him into our life and become children of God. So it kind of looks like this: believe plus accept equals become. So are you around campus this weekend and you believe, even over the last few weeks and months, would you say, I actually believe this? I didn't, maybe, or I didn't know, but I believe Jesus is real. I believe he came to this earth. I believe he healed Peter's mother-in-law and that he did all kinds of other things. I believe that. I believe he was God's son, somehow sent to earth. And I accept the fact that he died for me on the cross and that he rose 3 days later. I accept that into my life. If you will believe and accept, then you can become this child of God, which is exactly why Jesus came. Parkview, it's so good to be here together on the weekends. It's so, so good to be here. But it's even better to take Jesus with us into our life, our family, our work, and our school. Amen? Amen? Let's pray together. God, thanks for today. Thanks for this time that we can study, and thanks for the life of Jesus, and even this section of video, God, from The Chosen, and just how real, just how that really puts skin on Jesus, and how tender he was with Peter's wife, and how powerful he was with Peter's mother-in-law. And it just helps us see it and believe it. And God, I pray that you would touch the hearts today of those who need to accept you into their lives, surrender their lives to you, be baptized, start to live with you all week long, not just on the weekend. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We're grateful now to commune with you and sing to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Amen.
We're going to continue together by taking communion. Hopefully when you came in, you were handed one of these. If you're online with us, we'd love to have you join us as well. It's the moment now where we just remember all that God has done. And in response to what Todd just shared with us, you know, there's some point before you were here, someone chose to share their faith with you, to share the love that they had of Jesus with you. And it's a moment now where we can give thanks to that. We can go back and we can remember that moment and we can say, God, thank you for that. So let's take a moment now just to consider everything we've heard, to thank God for all he's done. I'll come back out, we'll take communion together. This is the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat. Now the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Let's pray together. God, there is a peace that only you can give. Father, there is healing that only you can give. God, there is a future, a place secure for us in heaven that only you can give. And so in this moment now, we give you thanks for that. God, I pray in the days ahead that you'd give us the confidence to know you are who you say you are. So God, stir our faith, stir our hope. Give us the privilege to lean in. God, give us the confidence to know that we can come to you with whatever we're facing, knowing that you hear us, knowing that you've got us, knowing that you've got a plan. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
I'm gonna invite you all to stand with us as we sing one more song in response to the incredible God that we serve. Did I waste so much time worrying? You've had a plan all along. I'm listening. You made a way out of deserts and rivers just yesterday. So today, if I hear you speak, I don't need an explanation. If you tell me move, I don't need the destination. If what's promised I never see, I'm still walking with you. You're still walking with me.
We're never alone in addiction.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. May you walk with him daily, and may he fill your lives with peace. Have an awesome week.